Hello everyone, my name is King, and this week we continue the story of the Metamorphoses. Last time the world and everything else was created, this time we meet the humans for the first time. Things go from good to bad to worse, and somehow the giants attack in the middle of all this. This is Book 1, Episode 3. Humans are terrible little creatures. So, animals have been created. But we need something else. Something with more intelligence and more sense of the fact that gods exist. Because of course they want to be honored, and they probably want sacrifices too. So humans are created. How we were created seems a bit vague in this description. Something with godly seed from the sky. But anyway, it is Prometheus who needs the humans into shape. And not just any shape. The same shape as godly beings. So, congratulations us, I guess. Now Prometheus is a Titan, one of those beings who came before the gods, before Jupiter and Juno and the rest. His name literally means something like the one who looks forward, implying that he always knows what's going to happen. He won't. In fact, in most versions of this myth, Prometheus gets chained to a rock and an eagle forever eats his liver, which then grows back. For the crime of giving the humans fire. But he didn't see that coming. And if he did, well, kudos to him, I guess, for still going forward with his plan. Oh, and apparently the Titans have been born somewhere between the lines. The same will happen to the gods, Ovid does not go into detail into the whole Kronos or Saturn in Latin. It's a kid's story. Anyway, the humans are created walking upright, specifically so they can look at the sky and the stars, which seems nice of him. I'm a fan of Prometheus. The first era of humans is called the Golden Age, and everything was good back then. Everyone was honest and good, so there were no laws yet, and so no punishment. People did not riot yet. I'm unsure if that is a good thing. Wood was not used to make ships to invade other people. No weapons, no army. Everything was quiet. It is mentioned that nations were free to practice the arts of peace, by which I suppose Ovid means things like poetry and sculpting, because that's exactly what he's doing. He's writing this poem in a time of peace under Augustus. Even agriculture had not been invented yet, because everything grew on its own. It was always spring, which I guess Ovid sees as the best season. And then on top of all this, the rivers did not have water in them. They had milk or sometimes nectar, a sort of godly drink. There was also some oak which produced honey, somehow. Seems an interesting time. Then Jupiter became ruler of the gods and the world after defeating his father, Saturn. As I said before, this is as much detail as Ovid gives about the whole affair with Saturn eating his kids, and then Jupiter making him throw his siblings back up, and then them defeating their father. There's this famous painting of Saturn eating one of his kids that haunts my nightmares. I'll put it on my Twitter. That's Metamorphoses K, at Metamorphoses K, for those of you who don't know. So we can have nightmares together. Anyway, so Jupiter starts the Silver Age, which is worse than the Gold Age. I have no idea why he did that. He makes it so it isn't spring all year round and splits the year in four seasons, which is why people build houses now, for shelter. Apparently before this we just hung around anywhere. And also agriculture was created and people need to work to get food. And then the Bronze Age starts for no reason whatsoever. These humans are ready for a fight, but they're still not bad, which is all that is said about that age. The Iron Age then is when things get bad. There is no more honor and loyalty, only treachery and violence and greed. People start crossing seas and oceans using the wood of trees. The ground had owners now. People take a piece of land and say, "That's mine." Before that, things were just nobody's and everybody's. People take metals and precious jewels from the inside of the earth and they find gold, over which wars are fought. People steal and kill. There's even a part specifically talking about stepmothers making a green, poisonous potion, thereby inspiring all fairy tales ever created. And the Lady Justicia, goddess of justice, leaves the earth. And then a sort of excursion to the world of the gods again. The giants have arrived, and they are attacking the gods. As always with the way Ovid is writing the story, it is unclear where they came from. But they're here now, and angry apparently. They had an interesting way of reaching Olympus. They took a mountain, as you do, and put it on top of another mountain, and so on, until Jupiter was tired of watching them do this or something, and shot at the mountains with his lightning bolt. And then the giants got crushed by the mountains. Moral of the story, maybe don't do that? And then somehow the Earth, named Gaia in Greek mythology, in Latin that would be Terra, who is the giant's mother, creates some more humans out of the blood of the giants, and they were also terrible, terrible little humans. Then Jupiter is like, well, that's interesting, and starts to think about a recent incident with a human called Lycaon, and whatever it is he's thinking must be pretty bad, because he summons the other gods for a council. Then there's a little explanation of what Olympus looks like, or at least the council chamber. The way to the council is the Milky Way, which Ovid says is clearly seen at night when the skies are clear, which just makes me sad, honestly. Most nights I can barely see the stars where I live. Imagine getting to see the whole Milky Way. Anyway, at the end of the road is Jupiter's house, and all along the Milky Way are the houses of the other gods. Specifically, the more important gods live here. Lesser gods live elsewhere, because I guess even for gods there has to be a class divide. Ovid then compares this divine Milky Way path to the Palatine Hill in Rome. Hashtag humblebrag. So the gods assemble in the council room, and Jupiter sits higher than the rest of them, and then shakes his head a couple of times, and apparently he has great hair. He starts to speak. He's like, I didn't really care about the giants, who had 100 snake feet apparently, but these humans, yeah, they're bad. So we should destroy them all. This seems a bit extreme, so Jupiter explains further. He says a lot of things have been tried to stop these humans, but it didn't work. I'd say he was lying here, except he swears on the river Styx, and those are serious oaths. Jupiter is concerned for the other creatures on the surface, the nymphs and fauns, the nature gods. Given what happens in the rest of this book, I'd say these nymphs should be more afraid of the gods than of humans, but my opinion is not asked. And apparently one of these horrible humans is Lycaon, who somehow set a trap for Jupiter himself. The other gods listening are affronted by this. How dare he? To a god, and to Jupiter himself. And now a short message from Ovid's sponsor. It's Emperor Augustus. Ovid takes a couple lines to express disgust about the people who conspired to kill Julius Caesar, or maybe it was an attempted attack against Augustus himself. And then back to scheduled programming. Jupiter calms down the other gods and starts to tell the story of Lycaon. Jupiter starts by calming the gods down by saying, "Chill, I've already punished Lycaon." So what happened? Jupiter had heard of Lycaon and the things he had were not good. Jupiter apparently believes in the benefit of the doubt, because he decides to go see for himself. He takes a human form and goes down to Earth. He goes to Lycaon's house, and for some reason decides to send some divine signals so people know there's a god. One could wonder what the human disguise was for, then. Good thing you don't have to wonder. I know the answer. Probably it's got to do with humans not being able to look upon gods directly, which will become more clear when I tell the story of Bacchus's birth later in this podcast. So Jupiter sends some signs, and people start kneeling. Only Lycaon is like, I would like for this man to prove he's a god. Knowing something of myths, this seems at once a terrible idea. Lycaon's terrible idea then goes from bad to worse, because he tries to murder Jupiter in his sleep. When that does not go according to plan, he murders some other dude, and then cooks parts of him. He gives this delicious meal to Jupiter. Now, my stupid question here is, why would gods be angry at being served some human meat? It's not cannibalism. They're gods, not humans. How is this different than any other animal? Anyway, Jupiter is angry and sets the house on fire. Lycaon flees, and somehow in the woods he gets transformed into a wolf and lives happily ever after, as a wolf. And this is why humanity must be destroyed. Thank you very much for listening this time. Next time we continue with the end of almost all humans and the creation of some new humans from stones. If you want to reach me, my Twitter is at metamorphosesk. My email is metamorphoses.key@gmail.com. I hope people are enjoying this podcast and sharing my enthusiasm for these myths. Until next time, bye!